Double M on the X. Joining me now in studio is the hot up-and-coming talent in Pittsburgh sports radio. He is Adam Crowley. Crowley, man, we got to get right to the heart of the matter because I talked way too much Penguins in the first hour. That's not what matters. What matters is Juju buying groceries, which we'll get to in a second. But also, how will the situation with Ben Roethlisberger play out? Give me a likely scenario as regards what happens with and to number seven for the rest of the season.
I think he leaves injured, and I think he leaves legitimately injured. I don't think that this hip injury or the pec injury are fabricated in any way. It wouldn't surprise me if he wanted to recede or retreat and get out of this mistake that he clearly has to know at this point he's made.
You think he knows?
Oh, yeah.
I read his body language and I see in his face. I think he knows too. I think the Steelers know too. But now there's no good way out of it.
Yeah, they're trapped. And really, maybe the best thing for the team is just that they suck and that they can have a top five, top 10 pick next year.
It's better to win four than it is to win eight.
Yes, I'm with you on that. I just think Ben's actually...
And hilarious. Let's not forget hilarious.
Ben's going to get hurt, though. I mean, this line's bad. When he holds onto the ball too long, and there have been a couple of occasions of that, he's getting hit. And at 39, made of beer the way that he is, you just can't take that many hits.
What's Ben's biggest problem, biggest shortcoming? I'd say his lack of mobility. I'd say his lack of mobility gives him zero chance out there.
Even Mike Tomlin admitted that, and I think that's the case. And when he extends plays, he feels like he's the old Ben, but he's clearly not. The arm strength is there.
It's sporadic, though.
It is sporadic, as is his accuracy, but I think all of that comes from the lower half, and I think that affects his mobility.
Do you think there's anything he could have done this past offseason to prepare better? Or do you just think a year like this was inevitable for Ben?
I think it'd be like putting on a helmet after the car crash. Like, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, like Brady prepared to play this long his whole life.
Yes. If Roethlisberger goes on a three-month diet, he might lose a few pounds, but I don't think that's going to make him any more mobile. The amount of hits he took early in his career were always going to catch up with him, and over the last couple of seasons, they have.
Well, the problem for him and for the Steelers is, Lamar Jackson could play okay behind a bad offensive line. But in today's football, you can't make up for having a bad quarterback. You know, like, if the offensive line was good and Ben was bad, they'd still have no chance. So I think blame is Ben is being unfairly scapegoated to some degree, but I also get it.
They're bad everywhere. I mean, they're bad everywhere on that side of the ball in particular. They can't run block. They can't pass block. This game against Green Bay was the best the offensive lines looked, and I still think it was below average.
Well, I love when Tomlin says that the running game and the O-line are better, and that's probably true, but look why that is.
There were too many penalties still committed by the offensive line in each of the last couple of games. I see a little bit of improvement on the O-line, but they're not going to be able to improve fast enough, and there's no guarantee that they'll ever improve to the point where they're good enough with these five guys. There's a lot of non-pedigree guys on this offensive line.
Well, right. I look at that offensive line, and the guys I think might start next year, if they do indeed utilize the cap space wisely, the guys who might start next year, Kendrick Green and Kevin Dotson, and God willing, that's it, because I think they're the only ones with potential.
Yeah, and even them, those two haven't played all that well.
No, but I think at least there's something there. Like and Dan Moore we don't know about because he's a fourth-round pick and a rookie. I think Trey Turner's washed. I think Chooks never was any good. I think Zach Banner sucks, too.
I can't disagree with any of that, and I know a lot of people are saying the Steelers made a lot of mistakes this offseason by not addressing the offensive line. Gee, you think? Yeah, of course they did, but...
Well, I pick on Juju because I really don't like him.
Right.
But shouldn't they have spent that $8 million on an offensive lineman? They just didn't need Juju. They had Washington, Claypool, and Deontay. They just didn't need him.
I'm with you. Juju Smith-Schuster is just a guy, and he continues to prove he's just a guy. I think he's good after the catch. I think he's good if he catches the ball on third and five, 2 yards shy of the sticks. I think he'll fight his way to get there.
Like, he wouldn't have ran backwards like Deontay did the other day. That was the wrong catch for the wrong guy.
Right. But you don't need to pay that man, especially whenever he's created some other forest fires around the team that you really don't want to have to be putting out in Ben's last year.
Have the fans turned on Ben? What do you get on Twitter listening to shows like this one, the stuff you're doing? What do you think?
Yes, and I don't think it's fair. Look, I said this whenever I filled in for you a couple of weeks ago. Ben sucks now because he's old. He doesn't suck right. because he sucks.
But he doesn't suck because he sucked back then, because he was real good back then. But people are taking this opportunity to say, well, he didn't play that good in Super Bowl XL. And the fact of the matter is he got them to Super Bowl XL almost single-handedly, yes. and they won it anyway. But now they're trying to minimize his legacy, and that's what I don't think is even remotely fair. I think he's one of the three most important people in Steelers history. Not players, people.
Well, and think about the way that this town has treated Ben compared to the way that Eli Manning was treated in New York. When Eli got benched, every single person with a microphone or who was writing columns in that town excoriated the New York Giants. If Ben Roethlisberger were benched, this town would celebrate.
Don't you think that's because of what didn't happen at Millersville and Tahoe, that people still grind an axe over that because their delicate sensibilities wanted a squeaky clean quarterback as opposed to a guy who I think did nothing but was mentioned in untoward circumstance?
I think that's definitely part of it. I think that might be a big part of it.
For the media, for sure.
Yes, and I think the Lev Bell, Antonio Brown stuff still, for a lot of folks nationally, falls at the feet of Ben Roethlisberger.
And there's a racial component that's undeniable.
Yeah, there absolutely is. It became a, hey, don't take money from another man's pocket, when those two guys did a good enough job of that themselves without any help from Ben.
Mike Tomlin said, oh wait, here's actually the big question, skipping ahead here, skipping behind in this case. Who will the starting quarterback be next year for the Steelers? Game one of the 2022 season, who is under center?
Well, the B team tells me it's going to be Aaron Rodgers. And they won't shut the hell up
about it. Do they
really
think that, or do you think they're just playing a game there?
I can never tell, but it's all they've talked about for days. The team's 1-3. They're bad, really bad for the first time since 2003.
Well, you know what? Yay, Pittsburgh. Aaron Rodgers is going to come here because it's a great franchise and a great city, and he'll turn us around. But who do you think it's going to be?
Probably Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, I think that's a lock.
Okay.
Because here's a great stat. Since they drafted Bradshaw in 1970, there have been only three seasons where the majority of games at quarterback weren't started by somebody the Steelers drafted. And we know that to Art Rooney II, how granddaddy and daddy did stuff means a lot. So I think it's going to be Mason Rudolph as a transition guy, not for the long term.
If that's the case, that's another reason why the Steelers shouldn't have brought Ben back this year.
Right.
Just get the darn Mason Rudolph year out of the way so at least you
draft
know.
Draft somebody now. Now in this draft coming up, there's not really a plethora of great quarterbacks, is there?
You know what? I should have answered Kenny Pickett.
Oh, would that that would happen. Tomlin said the running game and O-line's getting better. Do you agree?
Yes, a little bit. I thought that Najee Harris hit the hole a little bit harder in this last game. He plays tough.
I don't think he's doing anything less than his best every carry.
Yeah, he's working his tail off. I really have grown to enjoy watching that guy play, despite having to play behind this line. But I do think that they played their best game against Green Bay. But again, if that's their best and Za'Darius Smith wasn't playing, I mean, I just don't know that it can get you anywhere between 8 and 9 wins with that starting five. Are they running it a little bit better? Sure, but it's hard to run it as poorly as they did the first 3 weeks of the season.
Did the defense let down the Steelers at Green Bay? Green Bay scored on three straight possessions to turn a small lead into a stranglehold, and I keep getting told this defense is elite. Well, that's not elite.
It was not elite, and I think there are excuses, and I think there are reasons. I think with Watt and Highsmith not at 100%, without Tuitt, without Alualu.
Yeah, but once Watt got $80 million guaranteed, I don't want to hear about the labor pains. I only want to see the baby.
Well, he's the only guy who produced said child, right? He had two sacks and a fumble recovery.
A trip and a give up.
Yeah, the trip was pretty cool. I enjoyed watching that.
Sweep the leg. It was very Cobra Kai-esque.
I just think if you're playing Aaron Rodgers and you're not healthy in your biggest strength of the team, which is up front, you're just going to get carved apart.
Well, not having Tuitt has killed them more than I thought, and when Alualu went out too. But talk about Minkah for a second. Is he a center fielder or a playmaker? Because he hasn't had a pick in 11 games, and I understand there's a ripple effect from him being in there, but I can't pay the center fielder more than any other safety in football, which is what he wants.
If he's going to be a center fielder who can also take the ball away, like an Ed Reed Michelob ultralight, right? Okay, I'm paying the guy because he's not giving up the big play and he's taking the football away, but he's not taking it away. And in the Cincinnati game, he dropped a pick. It would have been a tough one, but dropped one that could have flipped the game on its head. And the same goes for the Green Bay game. That's 2 weeks in a row he didn't make the play that he was making for Duck, and he was making for Mason Rudolph the year the Steelers went 8-8.
When we come back, we'll talk Penguins, because I don't give a damn about the Steelers. I'm joined by Adam Crowley. We'll get back to the Steelers later. Just be patient. Or go screw yourself. 105.9 The X.
And now, the super genius, Mark Madden.
Double M. Huge fan, buddy. You're just like sweet nectar to my ears.
Still of the night! Still of the night! Still of the night!
The X at 105.9.
Double M and Adam Crowley coming at you until 5 o'clock here on The X. Let's switch to hockey for a second. The Penguins open their season next Tuesday at Tampa Bay. How much faith do you have in Tristan Jarry after he mangled that playoff series?
None, in terms of my long-term thoughts on the young man.
Well, it's unfair to condemn him for the one bad playoff series, but he lost it single-handedly, and I never had a lot of faith in him to begin with.
Well, the maturity thing's just a problem, and at this point it seems like a character flaw more than a phase. Whenever he tried to shoot the puck into the empty net in that New Jersey game,
after giving up 5 goals in the third period to make 7-1 into 7-6, yeah.
Yeah.
He's not real bright. That's legitimate. They went from a guy who lit up the whole dressing room in Fleury to Eeyore, Matt Murray, to a dope in Jarry.
And it's evident whenever you watch him play. Now, will he have his stretches? Yeah, there's some pedigree there. And we've seen him do it before. He was an all-star. He's put together good runs. So could he do that at the beginning of the year? Sure he could. But do I want him being my franchise goalie? No, I do not.
Who's going to score for the Penguins with Sid and Gino out?
Drew O'Connor.
You know, he's had a great camp and great exhibition game, scored twice last night. It's just different when the bullets start flying. Although I think he's definitely earned a spot on the team. And if he could be a decent bottom six at 6'3", well, that would be a bonus. I mean, better than Dominic Simone, certainly. But, see, I think Jeff Carter can still score.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think he can do it as a first liner with those minutes and those matchups.
Yeah, I think that's a tall ask of a 36-year-old playing in a full season after he's coming off of a shortened season. His shooting percentage is going to regress. I think you need Kasperi Kapanen to score some goals. I think you need Zucker to be better than he's been in a Penguins uniform, but why would I expect Zucker to be better in a Penguins uniform when he hasn't showed me that he can?
Yeah, boy, he checks all the boxes, but scoring, and so does Kapanen, although he's scored. You know what Kapanen is? He is a scorer of great goals, but not a great goal scorer.
Yeah.
He is quality and not quantity. And again, Jeff Carter on that line with Gensel and Rust, I mean, those guys can help him out. But the minutes, the matchups, and I'm worried about Gensel, too, because, okay, he's on the COVID list, and he's never played on a line without Sid or Gino. His entire NHL career, Crown Man, Sid or Gino. And boy, Jeff Carter's pretty good, but he ain't Sid or Gino.
No, definitely not the distributor. I mean, the puck comes off his stick as quickly almost as he gets it. And I'm not so sure how that's going to jive with those two guys he's playing with. Look, there's offensive pedigree there to be sure, but I don't love it. I like them when they're quote-unquote healthy, if they should ever get there. The center depth that they'll still be able to boast is good.
If they were healthy the whole season, I'd say they would definitely make the playoffs.
I'm with you.
But they're not.
They're not. And when Jeff Carter's your first-line center and Evan Rodriguez is your second-line center,
who was often scratched last year.
That's a disaster.
He's a good Swiss Army knife, but this is a dull blade for the second line.
Well, and he's going to have to play a fair amount. I mean, Crosby's probably going to miss, what, 5-10 games? But Evgeny Malkin's not going to be back for at least a couple of months. So they're going to have to figure out what they're doing at center. And beyond Crosby and Jeff Carter, and I guess Teddy Bluger, I mean, you're okay there. But when you're healthy, you have a chance to be special. And that's obviously a big difference.
Why won't Sullivan trust youth? Why not Zahorna instead of Brian Boyle or POJ over Pettersson? And if POJ isn't ready at his age after having been a first-round pick, either the coach is wrong or he sucks.
I think the coach is wrong, but I'm not the coach. Coaches in professional sports are some of the most conservative people that there are.
Oh, right, especially when they've had a team that's been good. I would err on the side of youth with what I think is a fading Penguins team, but Sully doesn't see them as fading.
Mike Sullivan is always going to play the guys that he knows about, not the guys he thinks about or thinks things about, which is why the youth guys, the young guys, played in 16. It's because he was coaching them at Wilkes-Barre.
Right. If he hadn't been coaching them at Wilkes, they never would have got a chance.
Nope, not at all. Connor Sherry never would have put on a Penguin sweater, for God's sakes, the 5'9 guy who looks like me. I think
he does look like you.
I pretended to be him once in Delaware.
Did it help any? Because I could think of what you would be.
After they won the cup, I was in Delaware like 2 weeks later. No one in Delaware has any idea about any Penguins. Got free drinks, and then at the end of the night, they kicked me out, and I puked in a Wawa.
Well, all's well that ends well. Mm-hmm. Will the Penguins make the playoffs?
I got them at plus 196 to miss, but...
Oh, really? That's good value for money.
Yes.
I hate that it is, but it is.
It is good value for money. I think they're going to make the playoffs. It's the same thing I said about the Steelers, which is making me look real stupid now. I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, you know what's going to help them and hurt them at the same time? There are six teams, maybe seven in that division that could make the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
but that means nobody's going to run away with the playoff spot. So even though it's going to be very trafficky and they could miss out at the end, I think they'll be there at the end.
Yeah, I mean, even the first-place team shouldn't run away and hide.
Even Washington ain't a great team anymore. They're too old.
I think Washington and Pittsburgh, I mean, it's like that Spider-Man meme, right, where both Spider-Men are pointing at each other. Like, I think they're very similar. Washington's at least healthier at this point. But I think the Penguins, with Sidney Crosby coming back sooner rather than later, and with the way that they've played with some jabronis in there in the past, with Mike Sullivan as head coach, I think they're going to probably play a little bit better than the roster should allow them to. And I think they'll probably hang around and make the playoffs.
You know what else is part of it, though? You can't be good forever.
Yeah.
That's what's happened to the Steelers. That could easily happen to the Penguins. And, boy, we're so spoiled, and it's given us no sense of humility or understanding as fans.
Why is it always going to be someone's fault, too? Like, I don't think it's anybody's fault if this team doesn't make the playoffs.
You know whose fault it is? The Penguins are in decline? Ben's.
That's it.
That's Crowley on Madden. We'll be back with more here on 105.9 The X.
And now the super genius, Mark Madden.
Double M, big fan.
We used to get sluts call all the time during Ask Mark Anything.
Hey, Mark, how are you today?
Oh, worse than it's a guy.
The X at 105.9.
Got the injury report for the Steelers. Ben did not practice due to his pectoral and his hip. Cam Sutton with the groin. Kevin Dodson, Carlos Davis with the hip and knee, respectively. All those guys didn't play. Chooks was a full participant despite a concussion, which means he probably won't remember practicing. Here's an interesting one. Cam Hayward out, limited with a neck. Juju and Claypool both limited. And boy, Trey Turner limited. Then again, when he plays, he's limited. I think the Steelers missing Tuitt and Aloalo has been more crippling than I thought. I thought they could get by without Tuitt, but now that, you know, they have to put a schmuck in there, even in the nickel and dime, it's damaging. Cam Hayward's been invisible in their absence, and boy, if he can't play, what's going to happen? And the result is you can run the ball on the Steelers and pretty easily.
Yeah, they had a lot of trouble against Green Bay. And going in, I actually said the Steelers should invite the run, and that way Rodgers wouldn't throw so much, but they just did both instead. The Steelers, if they were healthy, if their defensive front had all their pieces, I think they'd probably be sitting there at 2-2 right now, and everyone could fool themselves for a little bit longer. But here's the deal. This team's just not going anywhere, and I respect Mark Caboli immensely. He's a friend of mine. But he wrote that some of the things that are happening with Ben are fixable. You can't fix old. You can't fix the inconsistencies. He's inconsistent because his body still remembers that it could do great things. He still remembers he could do great things, but you can't cash those checks anymore. So it's just not fixable.
Yeah, I agree. And I think you're right. I think if they were totally healthy, they'd be 2-2 right now. But how many NFL teams are totally healthy
right
at any point in the season? Now, you got Denver coming to Heinz Field. Will they beat the Broncos? Denver's pretty good on defense, but they can't score. And, boy, that sounds familiar.
I keep saying it, but the Steelers' offense is scoring about a touchdown a game. I think it's 15 points per game they're scoring if you take away the block punt for a touchdown in game number one. Who are you going to beat? Why would I predict them to beat anybody when that's all they're doing offensively?
This game is a crapshoot at best.
Yeah.
But it feels refreshing to just say it's a crapshoot because, when they play Cincy again at Cincy, Cincy's going to beat them again. Cincy's just a better team. The Steelers are the worst team in their division.
They have the quarterback that's most limited with an offensive line that's limited. Cincinnati's is as well, but they're just simply not very good. And this Sunday, I expect it to be a 13-10 kind of ball game. And if the Steelers win, I guess I shouldn't be surprised. But if they lose, I don't think anybody should be surprised either. At least Denver, yeah, their schedule hasn't been tough. They've been finding a way to win despite not scoring points. The Steelers haven't.
Well, they're very well coached. Fangio's a good coach, especially defensively. But you got to win this game if you're Pittsburgh because you can't drop to 1-4. You can't lose 3 in a row at home. Denver is beatable. And if you lose this game, the season could spiral out of control. Mm-hmm. Like you said, if they're 2-3 with another home game coming, you can lie to yourself for at least another week. 1-4 would be undeniable, and I think things would go really bad in a real hurry.
Well, especially given that you'd be 1-4 with Seattle and Cleveland your next couple of clubs up.
If you lose this game, you're 1-6.
Yeah,
No question. If you win this game, you're not going to beat Cleveland. They could play Cleveland 100 times. They would lose all 100 games. But you could upset Seattle at Heinz Field. That wouldn't be out of the question.
No, Seattle's defense is really bad, so that might be a cure for what ails the Steelers' offense. Maybe they'll score 16 points in that game.
If you're going to dream, dream big.
I just think Vegas doesn't lie to you. When they have the Steelers favored by 1 point at home against Denver, and Denver can't score, that tells me all I need to know.
Is there any way the Steelers make the playoffs or even finish 500?
No. They're scoring 15 points a game. I can't get past that. And when people ask me what's wrong with the Steelers' offense, it's everything. There's not a single thing that they're doing well. And Juju Smith-Schuster and Ben Roethlisberger weren't on the same page. Last weekend, the week before that, it didn't look like Claypool and Roethlisberger were on the same page. They had guys dropping balls left and right against Cincinnati. Even when they're doing everything right and the ball's getting to the right spot, they can't make those plays.
Well, despite the generosity shown by certain among them in the grocery store, don't you agree that if the team is hopeless and guys like Claypool and Juju aren't getting their numbers, that things could go bad in a myriad of ways regarding those two in particular and maybe trickling down to others?
I think when you lose, and I think when you lose a lot, and this team could lose a lot, I think more often than not those things come out. I think more often than not those things happen, not just in Pittsburgh, but everywhere, and it wouldn't shock me in the least. I mean, Chase Claypool was ripping the Browns after they had just whooped up on the Steelers at Heinz Field in a playoff game. Juju Smith-Schuster smashing Microsoft devices on the sideline after not getting hit for touchdown passes by Ben.
Well, that's because he was trying to do a TikTok, and all it would do is show him video of plays, and who cares?
He got the spinny wheel of death thing going on, the buffering. It could definitely go sideways. Although I will say, Mike Tomlin's done a good job in the past of taking some teams that have started slowly, 2-6, 0-4, 1-4, and keep them afloat longer than they should be. But this might be the year where a lot of things that haven't happened in a while happen.
The Steelers stink, but I kind of expected that. I predicted them to win 8 games, and I don't think they're going to win 8 games. But I'm not upset because teams can't stay good forever. As we talked about during the break, fans expect that anything can be fixed and you can coach them up and make the playoffs indefinitely. But the part that angers me about the Steelers is the last 10 years when they had a lot of talent but underachieved badly in the playoffs.
I'm with you on that. I saw you put that out there into the ether the other day, and I couldn't agree more. It's like the Penguins when they were going through it after 09 up until 2015. Everyone was saying that they were a failure and they had underachieved. And at that point, they had. But then they came out of it and they achieved what they should have achieved.
Like one cup for that group would not have been acceptable.
Absolutely. And for the Killer Bees, they should have at least played in a Super Bowl. And they didn't play in one. They only played in one AFC Championship game. They got crapped on. They've lost playoff games at home by giving up 40-plus points.
Oh, to like Jacksonville and Cleveland. And the other thing, too, with the way they've underachieved the last 10 years, I've seen people say, well, what do you expect? It was the Brady dynasty, Belichick in New England. They only got eliminated once by Belichick, Brady, in New England. And that was in that AFC Championship game. You know, if you lose to them, you can't, look back with regret too much, but it only happened one time.
And Baltimore found a way to win with Joe friggin' Flacco at quarterback, right? I mean, the Broncos found a way to do it with Peyton Manning, who was worse then than Ben is now at quarterback. And that's the other thing, Mark. You know, people look at Roethlisberger and they're throwing a lot of dirt on his grave right now because we all see how Brady's aging and we see how Rodgers, one of the greats of all time, is aging and still playing well, won an MVP. Those guys are the anomalies.
Other than that, everybody's hit a wall.
Yes. Peyton Manning threw 55 touchdowns, then 39, then he threw 9. And then the year he threw 9, they happened to win the Super Bowl. Like, that's what it usually looks like. And that's what it's looking like with Roethlisberger right now.
Well, blaming Ben wouldn't bother me so much if he got the credit he deserved when he excelled. And if the fans respected him now, despite his struggles, but that's not happening.
I don't know how you can't respect Roethlisberger when you see the final drive of Super Bowl 43, when you watch the playoffs leading up to Super Bowl 40, and then you see everything he's done throughout the regular season in his career as well. Like, those things need to matter. I mean, for Sundays, for 17 straight years, the Steelers have had a chance to win every time they take the field, and that's because they had number 7 at quarterback.
Well, yeah, and what I'll give you an example what angers me. People say they won in 05 despite him.
Right.
Because he had a bad Super Bowl. But he was the best player on the Steelers in the prior 7 games, which they all had to win. They had to win every single one to make it, and he was the catalyst in doing that. And then, you know, the way Pittsburgh picks its heroes is amusing to me. You got Big Fat Jerome, the bus, who you couldn't melt down and pour into a big situation. The season's on the line. The game's wrapped up. He fumbles at the goal line. Nick Harper picks it up, starts running the other way. Who makes the tackle and saves Big Fat Jerome from being Bill Buckner? Ben Roethlisberger, that's who. But in Pittsburgh, Jerome is a much bigger hero than Ben, and that pisses me off.
And also who should be a big hero is the wife of Nick Harper, the girlfriend who stabbed him in the leg, because he's scoring a touchdown without that.
I don't know about that. Do we know for sure that the stab in the leg? We could call Terrell Pryor, ask him.
I think Roethlisberger needs to be looked at as the greatest quarterback in franchise history. And
if he's second to Bradshaw, that's not so bad.
That's fine, too. But it's like, Sidney Crosby got hurt in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final against Detroit in 2008. You know what? He still was second in the league in points and could have easily won the Conn Smythe. It's okay if you win, if you're one of the primary reasons why you're even there in the conversation in the first place. So the whole 2005 thing's always been crap to me. They don't beat Indianapolis without the way he played on those first three drives in particular.
Well, here's another thing that it's cliche talk radio, but let's bring it up anyway.
Yeah.
I think the three most important people in Steelers franchise history are in order. Mean Joe Green, because he's the best defensive player, arguably in football history, definitely in Steelers history, and he was the start of the turnaround, him being drafted. He set the tone every which way you can. Terry Bradshaw, number 2, because he's the quarterback on a team that won 4 Super Bowls. Ben Roethlisberger, number 3, because he's the quarterback on a team that won 2 Super Bowls. I don't count owners and coaches. I don't rate them because they don't play. I mean, if you take those three out of the equation, the Steelers win 0 Super Bowls. If you take Dan Rooney, Art Sr., who was a buffoon, actually, but nobody remembers that now, and you take Chuck Noll out of the equation, they still win, probably. Not as many, but they still win.
If they have Bill Nunn, they're still going to succeed there. I think Franco Harris belongs there, too. I know he's your favorite.
Well, no, he's just off the top 3.
Yeah, I for me, he might be 4. They never won until he got there, either.
I love when people say Jack Lambert. Jack Lambert, in terms of importance, couldn't carry Terry Bradshaw's jockstrap in a hockey equipment bag. Same with Ben, same with Mean Joe Green. But he once pushed Cliff Harris, so he's a hero.
I'll tell you.
No, don't get me wrong. Great middle linebacker. We're just speaking, you know, comparatively here, but comparatively, there's no comparison.
I think Rashard Mendenhall bears mentioning as well.
In the wrong way, yes. Talking to Adam Crowley here on 105.9 The X. When we come back, we're going to talk about Kyrie Irving, even though this is hardly a basketball show, and we'll talk about my absence from the Shaler and Duquesne Halls of Fame. It's the Mark Madden Show on 105.9.
And now, the super genius, Mark Madden.
Hey, Mark, second time caller. Love the show.
I'd like to talk to Mark about Marc-Andre Fleury. Pay attention, dumb skull, and talk.
The X at 105.9.
To wrestle Ric Flair, you gotta be a dude. And I'm gonna be in Baltimore, Greensboro, Greenville, South Carolina. And I'm gonna show y'all something I take a great deal of pride in doing. Woo! And that's why I'm the greatest wrestler alive today. Woo! You got it, boys. Take it for granted, and you're going to get hurt real bad.
Woo! The Daily Flair here on 105.9 The X. Crowley, you shocked me during the break. You said that you only recently started watching The Sopranos, the TV series.
This is correct. I started on Monday. I'm already on episode 2 of season 2, so I'm flying through the MF-er. It is outstanding television.
It is. I've been toying with the idea, having seen the movie, of watching it all the way through again.
The only shows I've ever watched through like that are long form, I rewatched a lot of Game of Thrones, and I rewatched Breaking Bad.
You're talking rewatch.
Yes. You can rewatch sitcom, stuff like that, 22 minutes a pop, like That 70s Show.
Like I'm doing as we speak.
Yes. Yeah, you could watch a million of those in a day. The long form stuff I really have to like to go back and watch it again. But I'm already telling you, I would rewatch Sopranos when I'm done. It's very good.
How many series have you watched all the way through one time, give or take?
A bunch. I'm a big TV guy, bigger than movies.
Because I got, like, when I started trying to lose weight and got on the treadmill, that's the easiest thing to do is kill time watching a series. So on the treadmill, I watched Breaking Bad all the way through on the treadmill. Never saw a first-run episode, but it's great. Justified, which ain't great, but it'll get you through. Yellowstone, Ozark, Cobra Kai. I mean, I just keep going and going. But
Succession's about to come out.
Oh, I love Succession.
So good. They got the new Game of Thrones thing coming out in 2022. A lot of sex in that.
In the new Game of Thrones.
And the old one.
I didn't watch. The fantasy stuff, like, I don't like fantasy, don't like superheroes.
Okay.
But if you're blowing somebody's head off, I'm right there. Now, are you watching this so you can watch the Sopranos movie at some point?
Yeah, that's why I did it. And
that was the inspiration.
Correct. And if there's a great series from back in the day that I haven't seen, I usually try to go back and get it because I hate not knowing what people are talking about. And I love the mob stuff, too. So I'm big in on this, and it didn't take me very long to get hooked.
Now, I'm not in the Shaler Area High School Hall of Fame, despite being eminently qualified, nor the Duquesne University Hall of Fame. From an outsider's perspective, why do you think that is? Because I should be, obviously.
Well, Mark, you are a tad bombastic, little opinionated.
Well, yeah, okay, Duquesne I can see, because they have other famous graduates. Shaler ain't got nothing. They got Art Howe, and that's it.
I'm wondering why Lebo won't let me in. I mean, I haven't asked him to let me in. I'm not sure anybody knows I graduated from there, but I should be in.
Well, I had two kids who wrote for the school paper at Shaler. This is about 7 or 8 years ago. They had a meeting with the superintendent asking why I'm not in the Hall of Fame. And when they were done pitching their case for me, he just looked at them and said, no. And I'm like, that's it? Yep, that's all he said. No.
Well, what have you done?
I don't know.
You need to buy more people groceries.
They wrote about it in the school paper, which I'm appreciative of. But what about Duquesne? I mean, listen to what happened with Duquesne. The other day, Duquesne's basketball Twitter account liked a tweet that somebody else posted that made fun of me. Now, yo, Dukes, if I hadn't been in the NCAA tournament since the Paleozoic era, I wouldn't make fun of anybody. I'm more famous than all of Duquesne's current players, and you ran off TJ McConnell.
Yeah, I don't get it, Mark. They should name the broadcast school after you. Do they have a broadcast school?
They must. I went there.
There you go.
Although I just took journalism. You know what my big accomplishment was at Duquesne? I learned how to run street hockey tournaments.
At Duquesne?
Yes, I ran the Intramural Street Hockey League, and I learned how to cut corners and skim. Did I say that out loud? But yeah, that was very useful. Okay, I want to stay with basketball. What's your take on Kyrie Irving and Andrew Wiggins refusing to be vaccinated, which means they can't play home games?
A lot of people make this about race as well.
It's not even remotely about race.
It can't be, because the vast majority of players in the NBA are African-American, and the vast, vast, vast majority of players in the NBA are vaccinated.
Because they want paid.
Because they want paid, and presumably a lot of them actually want to play basketball. Kyrie Irving is a dink and always has been.
I talked about that earlier. He doesn't want to play basketball. Whenever you give him a chance to not play, he takes it. He doesn't like to play.
They're all about load management now, which sounds more like something that a porn star should be interested in.
That's the way. Oh, I've seen that. Now, but that's more about them not wanting to play. Look, it's not that they need rest. They just don't want to play every game. They don't feel like it, literally.
This is his way of going about ensuring that happens And then you hope it blows over by the playoffs so you can get out there and play then, presumably. But he's an idiot. But he's one of those erudite idiots who believes he's a lot smarter than he actually is.
Right.
I mean, I don't know that he believes that the world is flat, but he wants people to believe it. And he thinks that he's so much smarter than everybody else and putting on and making it a joke. But he's not that bright.
Well, KD, Kevin Durant, is standing by his friend. Doesn't understand his friend screwing him. And why does Brooklyn have to get KD's approval, i.e. what they do with Kyrie Irving? But I guess they feel they do.
There was a new book that just came out about the Nets, written from an insider's perspective. He was given, I forget what the guy's name is, but he was given unbelievable access.
Which they likely regret now.
Big time. But KD, when he was brought in, he was told, you call the shots. And that's the way it goes in the NBA because you need 3-4 players to make a great team. So bring one guy on, let him make the decisions. You get your players, you get your ring.
You know what would be great if KD and James Harden disagreed on what should be done with Kyrie Irving?
That would make for another good book. Maybe the sequel.
Did you ever read The Jordan Rules? What was the guy's name that wrote that?
You know,
Steve Smith, I think, but not Stephen A. Smith.
If it's not on a computer, Mark, I ain't read anything in like 2 decades.
The best story in that book was when Michael Jordan told the players to not pass the ball to Bill Cartwright. And Bill Cartwright's like 7'1" and is pretty tough. And he, in a team meeting, he said, listen, the next time you tell people to freeze me out, I'm going to beat the hell out of you, and I don't care who you think you are. And he got the ball. What about this match, the match, the golf thing between Koepka and DeChambeau? 1 minute they hate each other, the next minute they're cashing in on that hate. And I get it, but it seems more than a tad phony.
I think they really hate each other. I think the check's got to be so big that they can't say no to it. What's lame is they're playing, 12? They're playing 12 holes?
Right, because there's 12 rounds in the boxing match. Let them club each other with 9 irons. I'll watch that.
I think that Bryson DeChambeau is a baby. Like, Brooks Koepka seems pretty cool to me.
I think DeChambeau's a baby, and Koepka likes getting under his skin. He likes trolling him.
Yes, he seems like an easy guy to have his buttons pushed.
You won't watch that, would you?
No. I watched a little bit of the first one with Brady and Manning because there were no sports on.
Wasn't the first one Tiger and Phil?
Yes, but they had Brady and Manning with them.
No, I think that was the second one. I think that was a mixed doubles match, so to speak.
Well, then maybe I'm just misremembering. I watched the one with Manning and Brady because there was nothing else going on, and I was craving some sort of live sports to gamble on.
You know what the thing is, too? When DeChambeau and Koepka do that, they'll work heat. They'll fake heat. You know what I mean? They'll make flippant remarks, but it will all be, vetted and approved by the other. No question.
People will watch. I mean, they wouldn't put it out there if people weren't going to watch it. It's the same thing with ESPN right now with what they're doing. You know, I think Bomani Jones, they're getting rid of him. They got rid of Katie Nolan, and they're focusing more on just the broadcasting of games. And people say, well, you know what? Well, you're not taking any social stands. Okay, they're broadcasting the games because the people want the games.
As I said to Bomani Jones in a Twitter back and forth, in public, if you will, not DMs, but out where people could see them, I go, when your career is done, you will be regarded as an underachiever. Whoop, there it is. And Katie Nolan, I never got her even for a second.
I thought she was funny. I think she's funny.
Really?
Like, yeah, I saw her on Drunk History. She killed me. But I just don't know that they know how to create that kind of content over there.
Well, what they do, they hire people they think are funny that aren't.
Or you ask them to do it on their own without giving them any necessary resources. And I guess if you're good enough, then, all right, you make that ship float. But, you know, the thing is, they want to broadcast games because now they know that people want the games. That's what they want. People don't want politics anymore. And look, I'm as big a snowflake as there is. Trust me. And I get called that all the time on social media. But people want the games.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that... I think they're getting the NHL to get all that hockey to fill time. That's where ESPN gets itself into problems, Kral, man. They have too much time to fill and not enough programming, and then they outthink themselves with people like Bomani Jones and Katie Nolan who never had a chance because they're not good enough.
I think they just need to keep getting games, and they're going to have all the SEC games. That's going away from CBS. They just got the NHL.
You know where that sucks, though? That will make them skew the game times for all the leagues they have to make sure they can fill programming. And I get it, and I'd do the same thing if I were them. But one thing that aggravates me is when something I expect to watch at a certain time, because that's when it's been my whole life, when it's not at that time. Like, when I see college football games at noon from the West Coast, or not West Coast, but like Central Time Zone, and I realize Notre Dame's kicking off at 11 a.m., that just isn't what it's supposed to be.
How about the Pirates now, from here on out, playing at 6:35? Do you see that?
Is that right? I didn't know that. When did they declare that?
So they started doing it for the pandemic this year. They just declared it at the end of the season. That's what they're going to do moving forward. 6:35, first pitch.
Did you? That's fine by me. I go twice. And
yeah.
I drink. So,
if the games are going to be 3.5 hours long, you might as well start them a little bit earlier.
From that perspective, I guess it doesn't matter when they start if I'm just going to drink. How about Ben Sherrington said, the fans will come back if we win. Boy, what a great marketing plan.
So why not win more? I can't name six Pirates, Mark. I can't. And I grew up going. I went to 60 games in a year before.
What about O'Neill Cruz?
Great. He golfed when out of the ballpark.
I think O'Neill Cruz and Kenny Pickett are going to have a baby. Oh, we didn't even bring up Kenny Pickett. Any chance in the Heisman at all?
He's not going to win. He might go to New York, though. He could. It's not a great year for anybody.
How many players do they take to New York? Five?
It depends on how the voting goes. If there's enough players that garner a substantial amount of votes, they'll invite, I think, as many as five. But they could just bring three.
Well, after 6 years, I would hope that he gets some reward for it, because most people go to school that long and they get a doctorate. That's Adam Crowley. I'm Mark Madden, 105.9.